You're listening to the Mom Inspired Show, episode 17 with Anita Tice. Welcome to the Mom Inspired Show. I'm your host, Amber Sandberg, and this show is created to inspire, encourage, and add a little extra fun to your day. Hey, you guys, this week we have Anita on the show, stay-at-home mom who homeschools her kids. So we dive into the curriculum she uses and how she chose that curriculum for her family. I asked her, how does she go about deciding that? Why did she pick the curriculum she did? And so if you guys are wondering about homeschooling and what you may want to do with your family, this is a great episode to listen to. But we also talk about how she's a writer for the website called tipsfromthedisneydiva.com. So I also pick her brain about Disney and some ways to save money and any advice that she has for going with small kids. We also talk about how she loves to make special events for her kids. And what I mean by that is if she's going to watch a movie that week, she's going to make these cute cupcakes or these cute foods with these cute names. And the point of all of this is just making things fun out of the ordinary everyday life. And so I think you're going to find this show refreshing, and I feel like it's going to make you feel like, wow, she's an everyday mom doing her best and making her life the best that she can for her kids. So let's go to the show. Anita, thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Thanks for having me, Amber.
So I love starting off the show with an icebreaker. I love to travel. So what is your favorite vacation spot that you have gone to and why? And this can be with or without kids.
My favorite vacation spot is Disney World. We've been several times, and I've been with just my husband and I've been with my kids, and I just love going. I think for me, going to Disney World is about creating memories, doing those special things with my family. And, you know, our trips to Disney are the things that my kids still talk about. You know, we've done other things. We've been to the beach and that kind of thing, but, the Disney World trips are what the kids still talk about. So that's definitely my favorite vacation spot.
Now, how do you alter your trip when you go just with you and your husband? Like, what does that look like?
We've only been once, just the two of us. Okay. And it was just a really quick kind of weekend thing. We just went for a couple of nights. We stayed off property. And we went to Epcot, which tends to be the more adult park of the four.
Right.
You know, my kids, there's not a whole lot there that they enjoy. We like to hit it when we go, but, you know, we actually went and spent all day and were able to do some of the rides that my kids don't care too much about doing.
Yeah. No, that always sounds fun. And where did you stay off property?
Oh, my goodness. Maybe at a Baymont. I really can't remember because I did something I had never done before. I did a Priceline name your own price.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
So we found this hotel like a Baymont, or I honestly cannot remember.
Okay,
it
gotcha.
Was right outside of the main gate for like $40 or $45 a night.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is cheap.
Yep. Yeah.
That's awesome though. I love it. I love it. Well, let's get started with the show. How about you share with us who you are and tell us a little bit of how you got to where you are today?
Okay. Well, I'm Anita Tice. I have been married to my husband Gabe for about 12 and a half years. It was an elementary school teacher for 5 years. And when my son Bowden was born in 2008, I decided to quit teaching at public school and stay at home with him. So I have Bowden, who's 8. And then not quite 3 years later, I had my daughter Callie, who's 5. And I am now homeschooling them, which is quite an adventure. And I also do a little bit of Disney travel agent stuff. Obviously, I mentioned how much I love going to Disney World. And then I write for the Tips from the Disney Diva website. I am Daisy Diva. If you want to go read any of my articles, that's my Diva pseudonym.
Oh, cool.
So that's pretty much me.
Awesome. Well, I'm going to jump into the subject of homeschooling.
Okay.
So your kids are, you said 5 and 8?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So what made you decide to do homeschooling? Did you always know you wanted to do it? And also, now knowing that you used to be a teacher, that's quite interesting. So I would love for you to jump into that a little bit.
Yeah, I did not want to homeschool. I grew up with friends with several people who'd homeschooled. My husband was homeschooled until ninth grade. And I thought homeschool people were weird. their kids didn't know how to socialize with other kids, yeah, and they were weirdos. And homeschooling was never, ever, ever, ever on my radar.
Wow.
And when Bowden was about two or three, I guess, Callie was a baby. One night, my husband was like, how do you feel about homeschooling? It was completely out of the blue. And I know I looked at him like he had just turned into a goldfish. It's like, no. And he was like, I really feel like it's something we ought to think about. And my husband teaches public high school. He's a social studies teacher.
Yeah.
And coaches, if you name it, he's coached it. He's currently coaching golf and cross country. I think he's the athletic director at the school. And so he basically just said, I see so many high school kids who are good kids and they have good parents and they're solid Christian families who I know love the Lord and they're involved in their church and all this stuff, but the kids are just making really stupid decisions. And I think it's because they don't really know what they believe. They're just kind of piggybacking off of what their parents believe. And he said, I really want our kids to know what they believe. And I really want us to be able to instill that in them at home before we, kind of throw them into a school setting.
Yeah.
And of course, I made a valid argument in that, well, there are a lot of kids who go to school 4K through 12th grade who leave having made really good decisions. I think we can still teach our kids, to make good decisions and to have their own, belief in Christ and all that kind of stuff and not homeschool them. He said, you're right. It's just something that's been on my mind and I just want you to think about it and pray about it. And I was like, yeah. Okay, whatever. But I really felt like as the days went by that the Lord was kind of tapping me on the shoulder, like, really think about what he said. Really think about what he said. And so I started talking to several of my friends who had homeschooled. And because, I went to a private school from kindergarten through 12th grade. So I really knew the private school sector and I had taught public school for 5 years and I have a bachelor's degree and a master's degree in early childhood education. I know the public school sector really well. I knew nothing about homeschooling at all. And so that was a little intimidating. And so, I talked to several friends and they really encouraged me to attend a homeschool conference and learn more about it. And so I went to a homeschool conference and really while I was there, it was kind of like, I could do this. I think I could do this. So we take homeschooling a year at a time. I know a lot of people ask, do you think you'll graduate your kids? And I don't know. For right now, I would love to. I would love to have them in, doing school with the community that we have now of other homeschool families. And we're actively involved in a curriculum that could graduate my kids and get them into college, ahead of the game. But, it's something we prayerfully consider every year. Because there may come a time where it would be best for my kids, best for my relationship with my kids to, put them in a public school. But for now, homeschooling was never something I wanted to do. And now we're the weird homeschool family.
Well, I think it also has changed a lot from back when we were growing up. So I do think it has a different feeling to it. And so, I know you do have to be careful because you do want your kids to be social. And I think that's why the co-ops and all that kind of stuff have really come into play and are really important, which I'll kind of go into that in a second. But
Right. Well, and you want your kids to have friends. For children and teenagers especially, it's important for them to have friends.
Right.
And I think it's really easy when you homeschool for your kids to not have any friends. And, I know that I have fellow homeschool moms now whose kids are getting older and it's a concern for them because maybe there aren't any boys or any girls their child's age homeschooling in the area. And there's, I feel like he's really lonely or she's really lonely because, they don't have, a good support group of friends. So it is, that there are, pros and cons to every avenue of schooling. But absolutely. You do want them to have that social aspect, to find some sort of outlet. And I think for a lot of kids, they can find a sport. They can be on the swim team, or they can be involved in soccer or baseball or whatever. And that gives them that chance to, you know, be around their peers.
Yeah. Well, speaking of curriculum, how did mm-hmm. you, well, what curriculum did you choose, and why did you choose it?
I chose the curriculum that I did from going to the homeschool conference. If you go to any of those conferences, there's just the enormous, completely overwhelming exhibit hall that you can walk through, and you can flip through the books and look through all of the different options. And if you talk to 100 homeschool moms, you're probably going to hear about 200 different curricula options.
Wow.
Because
that's
some
crazy.
Of them were going to say, well, I do this for phonics, I do this for science, and I do this for math, which initially seemed really overwhelming for me, because, you know, like I said, I was used to public school where they just hand you, here's what our school uses. And so I didn't have to make a choice. And so the thought of making a choice and that seemed overwhelming. So I initially went with a curriculum called Memoria Press, which is a classical curriculum. It's a little different from the more traditional school setting, in that there's a lot more memorization, which is an older technique. This is the way that a lot of our historical figures would have been taught. Alexander the Great, George Washington, and people like that would have had a classical education, where they initially did a lot of memorization and then kind of built on what they had memorized as they got older. And so I liked that kind of non-traditional approach. So I started with Memoria Press. I still use Memoria Press as my basic curriculum. Memoria Press uses a rod and staff curriculum for their math, so I still use that. But I felt like my son in particular really needed a little more phonics. And so I started doing Saxon phonics with him, which is what I taught in the public school system. I was comfortable with it. And I knew kids who had been taught Saxon phonics could read.
Oh, okay.
So
wow.
I went with what I knew worked.
Sure.
He was struggling just a little bit.
Yeah.
And it seemed to really help him. And so that's what I use. You know, we read books and we go on field trips and all that kind of stuff, but that's our basic curriculum along with our co-op that we go to.
Okay. So if moms are listening that are considering homeschool, what would you recommend in regards to choosing the best curriculum for their families?
I would definitely recommend, like I've mentioned, attending a homeschool conference and being able to look at each different curriculum. You know, what I loved is I could spend all day walking around that exhibit hall and flip through the books, look at the lessons, look at the lesson plans, talk to the people who work with those curriculum companies and ask them questions. You know, there are a lot of moms who have kids with special needs who are thinking they may be able to provide their child's needs better at home. And so they're thinking about it, but they're really not sure what to do. Ask those curriculum people, hey, I have a child with dyslexia, or I have a child with who's on the autism spectrum, or I have a child with this or that. They may be able to say, hey, we have a program especially for kids with autism, kids with dyslexia, kids with learning disabilities, that kind of thing. And so there are a lot of moms who have had success homeschooling their special needs kids. And it's just from talking to those curriculum reps and kind of getting their hands in and looking at what they think is going to meet their family's needs and talking to other moms. You know, find out, because homeschool moms will be real honest with you. They'll say, I used this program and it was horrible. My child hated it. It was, you know, the workbook pages were too boring. Or you may have another mom that says the workbook pages were too bright and colorful and they distracted my child. So, you know, talking to moms and, you know, hearing from them and kind of getting their input. And I think thirdly, I would definitely tell anybody to get involved in a local homeschool group. For us, we do the Classical Conversations homeschool community, which has their own curriculum, and we go once a week. And it has just been fabulous for me and fabulous to my kids to be with like-minded people who are all studying the same thing. It keeps me accountable and it helps the kids because, you know, they've got things they've got to work on at home. Right. And, you know, I don't want to go next week and not know, you know, I can't answer the questions my tutor asked me, or all the other kids know it and I don't. So it kind of gives a little bit of that positive peer pressure for them to want to perform. And it helps keep me accountable as a mom, and I can talk to them and go to them with questions and, hey, we're really struggling with this or with that. What have y'all done at home? And, you know, something that organized might not be for everybody. We also have a local homeschool group right here in South Georgia where I live, and they meet on Friday afternoons, and they do, you know, more simple, not as academic classes. You know, they might do a class on health or a class on cooking and things like that, that the kids really enjoy. But I think it helps the moms to have that accountability and to get to talk to a grown-up, for Pete's sake. You know, sometimes when you're a mom and you're home with your kids all day, you kind of want to talk to a grown-up for a little bit. And you know, having that time of talking to other moms and being in community with them while your kids are socializing with their own peers, it's definitely something I would advise anybody considering homeschooling to look into.
So how did you go about finding those groups to be part of?
The Classical Conversations group I found at the homeschool conference, and they had a booth set up there, and I talked with them, and originally was kind of like, eh, I don't think that's really for us. But after about a year and a half of homeschooling, I developed that need for, I need a community. I need, you know, I need something for my kids to do, you know, like once a week, or we're, you know, with other kids. And so, you know, I kind of remembered, hey, that Classical Conversations group. And so I went to the website and was able to reach out to a local director of the community and visited and really loved it, loved the moms, loved the kids, loved the program. And so we signed up and have been doing it. This is our third year with Classical Conversations. And so we really love it. But probably something as simple as a Google search, homeschool groups in my area. Okay. We'll probably pull up
some info,
something.
Yeah.
Probably pull up something. And you may have Facebook friends. You could go on Facebook. Hey, I'm thinking about homeschooling my kids. Does anybody, you know of anybody locally that does that? I know that I have been put in contact with other homeschool moms that I didn't know because they were a friend of a friend. And so, you know, my friend said, hey, I've had a friend named Anita who homeschools. Let me give you her number. And so, you know, kind of putting out the little APB, you just have to be prepared to get a little criticism. Not everybody supports homeschooling.
Yeah.
On Facebook.
Right.
I think that homeschooling, you may get some, why would you homeschool? Your kids are going to be nerds and all that.
Yeah. There's definitely some pushback on some people, you know, I feel like there's always got to be naysayers about whatever, you know?
Right.
And, you know, I'm going to tie into this later, but I did want to say, I think it's really neat too, because I do think a lot of moms that they're afraid to do homeschooling because one, they think, oh my gosh, I'm not going to have my days to myself, right? Compared to going to public school.
Exactly.
Also, if they can't work. And so I love that you have figured out a way to kind of have something for yourself, you know, the whole Disney stuff. And like I said, we'll go into that in more detail soon. But I think that probably really helps. And so I'm just thinking moms out there that are listening, and that's kind of one of their fears. And maybe it's, they can think of something too, that they could do, whatever that may be. I don't know. It could be like sewing or, you know, doing Disney stuff or writing a blog or whatever that may fulfill them, so that they don't just feel like their whole life and every day is all about the kids.
Right. You know, being home in the mom uniform of t-shirt and yoga pants. And And there are a lot of work at home options for mom. I know I'm going to plug it once again. If you go to a homeschool conference, a lot of times there's a couple of workshops, you know, how to have a second income from home, because they know that this is an issue for a lot of homeschool families. If you're homeschooling, you're probably a single income family.
Right.
And I can tell you, we've been doing it for 7 years and it's not easy. It's not easy to live off of one income. And so being able to find something, whether you are like a medical transcriptionist or you run an Etsy shop, or like you mentioned, you have a blog and you get money from advertisers and affiliate links, or you you know, become a travel agent or some sort of independent contractor or a writer or whatever, you know, finding something else to get a little bit of income. It does give you that a little bit of financial cushion. And it also gives you another purpose aside from just the mom stuff that can get a little tedious from day to day.
Right. Well, and speaking of just, you know, doing fun things for your kids before we move on to your job and stuff like that. I know you're creative and you love making ordinary evenings fun with themes. Uh-huh. And so can you share with us some of your most memorable theme parties and why you feel they are important to do? And what made you decide to start doing them to begin with? And kind of explain what I'm referring to when you go into it.
Sure. Yeah. Well, about 3 years ago, I guess, our family went on our first trip with the kids and everything to Disney World. And I really wanted to make it super special for them. And they were 4 and 2 at the time. And so I kind of came across this idea online, just kind of looking at different, you know, stuff for preparing for Disney. And there was a mom who had done family movie night with her kids. And so they had picked a Disney movie and watched the movie, but she had done a meal kind of connected to that Disney movie. And I was like, oh, well, that's a really neat idea. And I think the kids would like that. I know so many of the rides and experiences and attractions and shows and all that at Disney World obviously are based on their movies. And so I wanted to make sure my kids were kind of familiar with the movie and the background for the ride or the show or whatever. So I came up with a list of about a dozen different movies that, you know, some of them the kids had already seen and some of them they had not. And I developed a menu that kind of tied into the movie. And, you know, for some of the movies, there was a food specifically mentioned in the movie. Like if you remember when the genie sings Never Had a Friend Like Me from Aladdin, he says, how about a little more baklava? So the night that we watched Aladdin, I made baklava, which was a total nightmare.
Making I don't think that would be easy.
It's a total pain. I was like, I will never do this again. But so I would try to, you know, pull in maybe a food that was mentioned in the movie. But then I would also come up with maybe like a little play on words. So the same night as Aladdin, when I made the homemade baklava, that was craziness. I also served the genies, beanies, and weenies, which was just a hot dog and baked beans.
Oh, that's cute. I love it.
So, and I created a little menu that had the foods on it with a picture of the movie, and I stuck it up on the refrigerator, and the kids loved looking at that. And of course, they couldn't read, so they would get me to read it to them all day. I would hang it up in the morning, and oh, they were so excited all day. And so, so we would do that. But I asked the kids, you know, which was your favorite, you know, when we did these. And my son loved the night that we did Cars. So that night we had bacon, lettuce, and tomato sandwiches.
Oh, so cute.
And then mac and cheese, because, you know, the Big Mac truck is called Mac movies. And I made a Luigi's Leaning Tower of Tires or whatever it is from the movie. And it was just those store-bought chocolate covered donuts. I just stacked them up on a plate and it looked like a stack of tires. And I had made traffic lights with, you know, graham crackers, a little bit of icing, and just red, yellow, and green M&Ms.
Oh, that is so cute.
Really simple. Yeah. Really simple. The kids loved it. And, you know, when you do these little things like this, throwing in a dessert, at least at my house, that makes it special because I don't serve dessert every night. You know, we may have spaghetti and salad, but I don't do a dessert. So when I did these little movie nights, I threw in a dessert, which made it different and it fit the theme and it was something special. And so the kids really enjoyed that. So Cars was my son's favorite. And then my daughter's favorite, as well as mine, was Tangled, which is Disney's version of Rapunzel. That's my favorite Disney movie. I love it. And so that night we had Flynn Rider sliders, which were just, you know, I just made little hamburgers with Hawaiian rolls. And sun chips, if you've seen Tangled, the sun is referenced a lot. So we did sun chips to kind of tie that in.
Yeah.
And, Pascal, her little chameleon friend, we had Pascal's potato salad. And then this was probably the most involved thing I did. I made, Rapunzel cupcake towers for our dessert. And so I took the cake ice cream cones
Yeah.
And you can actually bake a cupcake in one of those.
Oh, wow.
So I just put them in a muffin tin to kind of keep them steady. And I filled them with just boxed Duncan Hines, yeah, Pillsbury, whatever, yeah, cake mix, baked them in the oven, frosted them. And then I took one of the pointy sugar cones and, yeah, I slathered it with some lavender icing and, mm, kind of flipped it upside down. So it kind of looked like the tower that she's trapped in the movie.
Yeah.
So, and I decorated, I put some green icing around the edge to, one, cover up where the cones met and kind, right, of hide the cupcake, and then kind of make it look like the mossy grass, you know, oh, that's so cool, on the tower.
Yeah.
And then I squirted a long string of yellow icing coming down, oh, so it looked like so her hair.
Cool. Yeah.
And so that was like sugar overload because, yeah, all the icing and cake, sure, and ice cream cones and, you know, nothing an adult would like to eat, but the kids loved it. So that was probably my most involved detail, yeah, one that I did, but also, one that I really liked because it was all store-bought stuff and it was really simple was Toy Story. We watched Toy Story and we had Pizza Planet pizza, which is a frozen pizza, or order something from Domino's.
Sure.
We had Mr. Potato Head Spud Skins, which was a box of frozen, like the loaded potato skin.
Oh yeah. Right.
Buy like TGIF or something, yeah, you know, dip them in some, right, sour cream. And I made alien cupcakes, which this could be really easily done with some store-bought cupcakes. Call Walmart or Publix or your local bakery and order half a dozen cupcakes squirted with lime green icing on the top.
Okay.
Add some little candy eyeballs that you can buy on the cake decorating aisle. Put three of those because all the aliens have three eyeballs. And some black licorice hair and a squirt of black gel icing you can buy on the baking aisle, and you got, yeah, an alien face.
I love
cake.
It. And that's easy. That's easy.
That's,
yes,
easy. And for the mom out there who doesn't bake, who, right, doesn't cook,
or is not super creative or whatever.
Right,
yeah.
Not
this
super
is perfect.
Creative.
It's, yes.
It's as easy as pulling up a picture of the alien face online and
then just doing it,
squirting it. With,
yeah. I love it. No, that's
gel.
A good idea. I,
yeah,
really like that.
Super easy.
Now, do you still do these parties?
I do every now and then. The kids will ask for them, honestly. Can we, aww, have another family movie night? Aww. So I'll kind of have to pull something together.
Yeah.
The last one I did was actually for the Olympics, the night of the,
oh,
opening ceremony.
Yeah, what did you do?
I did an Olympic-themed meal. And so, I'll have to remember exactly what I did. I think I did something very all-American, like burgers and fries, because, of course, you know, we were going to cheer for USA. And I scoped out my Walmart bakery, and they had a cookie cake that didn't have a whole lot of icing on it. And so I brought it home, and I scraped off their icing.
Yeah.
And I slathered it with white icing, and I did the Olympic rings and M&Ms.
Okay, so you did the Olympic, the rings with M&Ms.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I love. So do you put icing down and then put the M&Ms on to,
yeah,
stick? Is that how you do it?
Uh-huh, I,
oh,
did.
I love that idea.
I just smeared it with, I covered the whole thing in white icing. And then I took a glass out of my cabinet and I just made the five. I kind of gently pressed it into the icing so that I'd have a basic outline. And then I just dumped out a bag of M&Ms and I made sure that I flipped them over so the M wasn't showing. And I just pressed them down into the icing.
It.
And it.
And that's so easy.
M&Ms has all the right colors. The brown, you know, brown and black. It's,
yeah,
a little off. But yeah. And that there again was just as simple as pulling out my phone and Googling the Olympic flag,
yeah,
and recreating it with M&Ms. So it was really easy. And I think I had some leftover, you know, flag napkins from July 4th. So I,
yeah,
pulled those out and just super simple. My husband is super into the Olympics. And so he loved it. Like,
yeah,
he ate it up.
Yeah. It was like more for him.
Yes. Yes. He loved it and was, it got the kids excited.
That
and,
is.
Now, I think maybe I had popcorn and tossed it into like parchment paper rolled up like a torch, and so we ate popcorn torches and just very simple things like that, but it kind of gets the kids excited about,
yeah,
you know, what's coming up, and
sure,
you can tie stuff in with history you're studying or science or whatever.
Now, when you have those specific meals or those foods, are you writing them on a piece of paper, or are you telling them like, this is the blah blah blah, you know, are you just like telling them at that that's what it is, or what do you do?
For the Olympics, I did. I just said, hey, we're having burgers and fries because that's all American food. And this is, you know, my husband and I talked to them about the Olympics and how they started in Greece and that they always carry the flag. And so, you know, they saw the cookie cake, but then we all watched the opening ceremonies together. They're like, oh, there's the flag. There's the flag. So they kind of recognized what it meant just from our discussion at dinner. When I did the Disney nights, I did write it down and make the menu and all that. Okay. But sometimes it's a little more spur of the moment. Sure. And I'm just kind of like, hey, here's what we're doing.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I wanted to move on to the Disney stuff. You write for the blog, and what is that called again? I'm sorry. The Disney Diva? Is that right?
Tips from the DisneyDiva.com.
Okay. So I think a lot of listeners are going to have small kids. And I know that people are kind of like, I don't know if I should risk this. I don't know if this is going to be a waste of money to go with little kids. So let's kind of tackle some of the tips that you have for making a Disney trip successful with toddlers. And like, what would you say is the, like, you know, kind of the best info that you've got with going with little ones?
Right. I think my first tip for going to Disney World, period, regardless of whether you're going with little kids, older kids, grandparents, is to set realistic expectations. That's good. It's really easy to be like, we're going to do it all. And you know, there's lines and there's heat and there's stuff that happens. And it's easy to feel disappointed that maybe you didn't get to do everything you wanted to do. And so set realistic expectations of what you can feasibly accomplish in a day at Disney World, especially if you're going with toddlers.
Yeah.
My kids are travel champs.
Oh, wow.
We have never had any issue traveling with them. We have flown halfway across the country with them when they were very little and never had any problems at all. We have done 17 and a half hours straight at the Magic Kingdom from 7:30 in the morning until after midnight at night.
Wow. Yeah.
Every three-year-old cannot handle that.
Yes.
Right. And so know your travel party, know your kids, know the grandparents. You know, lots of people go with grandparents too. And, you know, if you think grandma or grandpa is going to need a nap, make it happen. If you know the baby is going to need a nap, make it happen. You know, eat lunch and leave. Go back to the resort. Lay in the room for a couple of hours and take a nap. Enjoy the air conditioning. Hop in the pool and cool off for a little bit. I think people get a little hung up in, we spent this money and we're not going to leave, that you have a horrible time and you spend the last 8 hours that you're in the park just yelling at everybody because everybody is exhausted.
Yeah.
Leave and take a nap. Know your group.
Yeah.
You know, for us, we do fine hanging out from rope drop until the fireworks, but not everybody can do that. So don't set unrealistic goals. And it's really easy to do as parents because we get a little wrapped up in what we want to do and making sure that the kids experience everything, that we kind of forget their little personalities.
And
if Sally needs a nap, just take her for the nap.
Right. Yeah.
Leave and make sure she gets the nap.
Yeah.
So that can make or break your, vacation. And I think for me, the first time we went with the kids, I set some unrealistic expectations. You know, it was all going to be magic and pixie dust and unicorns. And so when something went wrong, it like devastated me. So I had to have a little reality check, like, okay, it's going to rain. It's Central Florida.
Yeah.
So, you know, be okay with that certain ride closing because it rained.
And
you know, certain things you just have to, okay, be realistic about this. It's not literally magical. Wave a magic wand.
It's still real life. Yeah.
Yeah, it is still real life. Exactly.
Yeah. Now, would you say that there's certain hotels that you like better for having younger children?
Yes and no.
Okay.
All of the Disney resorts are going to be great for kids. For different reasons. They kind of categorize their resorts. The value resorts, which is Disney for cheapest, are super over-the-top cartoony kid-friendly.
Yeah.
There's going to be, you know, the larger-than-life Mickey Mouse and, you know, very themed around their animated movies. Little Mermaid and Nemo and things like that. And it's going to be in the room and in the pools and really all over the place. Typically when we go, if we stay on property, we stay in one of those resorts because they're cheapest.
Right.
And, you know, like I said, we spend all day in the parks. And so we really just need somewhere to take a shower and sleep.
Sure.
You know, we don't need anywhere super fancy.
Yeah.
The more expensive resorts, the moderate resorts that are kind of that in between price range. And then of course your deluxe resorts that are significantly more expensive. They have really fabulous pools with water slides and all that. So if you know your group is going to spend a lot of time in the room, it might be worth it to spend a little extra to have a bigger room, bigger beds, and a better pool experience, you know, better amenities for being right there on the resort property. Yeah,
that makes sense. Now, you saying that, do you have a favorite hotel and why?
Over this summer, some friends of ours that we go to church with are Disney Vacation Club members. And so they had points that they were not going to use and they were going to expire. And so they gave them to us.
Wow, that's awesome.
It was amazing. And so they put us up at Animal Kingdom Lodge for 3 nights.
Wow.
And Animal Kingdom Lodge, this was like a one-bedroom villa. It had a kitchen. We had a balcony that we could sit on and watch the animals.
Yeah.
I mean, that has been far and away our best Disney resort experience.
Yeah.
I mean, just, we didn't even go to the parks. We went and we enjoyed the resort. We watched the animals at night. They had, you could borrow night vision goggles and sit outside and watch for the animals with vision goggles. There were two amazing pools with these fabulous water slides, and they would play games with the kids. And I mean, we would spend all day in the pool. They offered free restaurant tours. And so I went and toured the restaurants and learned about some of the African culture and how it was, you know, kind of infused in their design of the restaurants and the cuisine and all that. I mean, there was just so much to do right there on the resort property that we didn't really need to go to the theme parks.
Now, were the kids okay with that? Did you warn them ahead of time? Hey, we're going here, but we're not going to the parks.
Right. We had talked about it ahead of time. And, you know, my son, there were a couple times where he was like, I really want to ride a ride. And
aww, I
was
like,
I know, buddy. But I also knew that we were going to go back in just a few months for his birthday and my birthday. We share a birthday. And so we had planned a trip already for that. And then this was offered to us. And so, you know, we knew that we were going to be back in just a few months. And so, you know, he was okay with that. And, you know, the monorail is free. So we, you know, hopped on the bus and took, you know, went over to the Magic Kingdom and just hopped on the monorail and rode around that. My kids love riding the monorail. So
yeah, that's
that
fun.
Got him a little bit of a ride fix.
Aw. Well, so we're almost at the end of the show, but I wanted to ask you a question. For the families on a budget and may feel like they can never go to Disney, I was hoping we could kind of break down the cost for a family of four. We'll use that as the gauge.
Okay.
And what would they most likely spend? And this could be during a season that's not necessarily considered high season. So a time that would be more affordable. And then, and I also know that some people may love camping, and that I know can really kind of reduce the cost. So I'm thinking, how about we talk about, probably the value resort for family four, and then also touch base on the camping scenario.
Absolutely. Yeah. Disney does have value season, regular season, and peak season. And obviously value season is going to be the most affordable time to go. That tends to be August and September and a little bit into October and January and February. Obviously whenever there's holidays, Thanksgiving, Christmas, anytime during the summer, spring break, that's Disney's busiest time. So it's going to be their peak season. And then, you know, times when school is in, there's not really any holidays, there's nothing special going on. They don't have, you know, Christmas decorations up or Halloween decorations up or anything like that. Those are going to be slower times. And so August, September, January, and February are the value times that there's going to be less crowd, more comfortable temperatures, and cheaper prices.
Sure.
So if I were going to put a family of four at one of the value resorts, which, I, you know, when I was kind of looking at pricing this, I chose All Star Movie Resort. Okay. We've stayed there before, fun theming, you know, like I said, it's larger than life, the animated characters. So that is one of their value resorts. And if you went for a whole week, you know, Sunday to Saturday with 5 days of tickets in January during a value season, it would run you about $2,000.
Okay. And this is obviously without airfare. So
right,
we're
right.
just talking.
This is going to be without airfare and without meals.
Okay. So,
you know, but this is going to be, you know, 6 nights in a hotel room and 5 days worth of tickets.
And this is for four. Yeah. Four mm-hmm. people.
For four.
Yes.
Uh-huh. And that's yep. two adults and two kids. And at Disney okay. World, a kid is between the ages of 3 and 9.
Okay.
Once you hit 10, you're adult pricing.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Kids under 3 are free.
Yep.
So if you are a family of four, like we were the first time we went, where our kids were 4 and 2, you could do it for about $1,800.
Okay.
So if your youngest, yeah, if your youngest is still under 3 and mm-hmm. you're thinking about doing it, go ahead and do it.
Yeah.
Cause they're going to be free.
Yeah.
And, you don't age at Disney. So whatever age you are on the day you arrive, you are that age the whole time you're there. So you could go for your child's 3rd birthday and they can turn 3 while you're there. But as long as they're still 2 the day you get there, they're still free.
Okay. Gotcha. That's cool. I like that. And, and then what about the camping?
Right. Camping is going to be significantly cheaper. When I looked at some value season camping, they didn't have anything available in January. It had apparently filled up. So I looked at some September dates.
Mm-hmm.
And, if you got just like a little tent or pop-up site, where you really are rustically camping in your tent,
right.
A family of 4 can do that for about $1,800.
Okay. Wow.
And that's, you know, a whole week, 5 days worth of tickets.
Yeah.
I have never camped at Disney. I have friends who have. I've never personally done it, but I have visited their campsites and they're beautiful.
Yeah.
I mean, the resort there is really well done. It's big. There's tons of stuff there to do. There's a bus system that can move you around within the Fort Wilderness campsite area. There's tons of free activities. There's restaurants. There's, you know, obviously showers and stuff like that for people who are in a tent and don't mm-hmm. have a bathroom or shower right there
right.
with them. So,
right. Well, it is Disney after all. I mean, so if you're used to camping to begin with, I feel like this would be a step up because it's still Disney property. And so if you're already used to camping and that's your jam and you like that, I feel like this would actually kind of feel a little bit more luxurious. And so,
yes.
Well, that's great to know. And then, and also people don't have to go for a full week. And so if $2,000 or $1,800 is too expensive because we haven't added in the food, you know, you can go for 4 days or whatever. And then that's obviously a cheaper price. So I just wanted to give some, you know, price points for people. Cause I do, think that a lot of people may think it's so expensive and they can never do it. And so this will then give them kind of some framework to work with, and whatnot.
Right. Yeah. Disney can definitely be done on a budget. And you can take a soft sided cooler into the parks and bring in your meals, you know, take in peanut butter and jelly,
nice. Yep.
take in a turkey sandwich, and you don't have to spend the money
on the meals,
you know, cause theme park food, whether you're at Six Flags or Disney World or somewhere else, it is not cheap.
Right.
And so, you know, if you're on a you know, Disney on a budget, absolutely bring in your food.
Yep.
Definitely.
So if you went camping and you kept the cost down there and you already bring your food because you're doing camping, it's like just throw some sandwiches together and bring some waters. And I do love that about Disney, that they don't like make you just buy their food there,
exactly.
which is quite amazing. Cause I mean, there's so many places that are not big like them and they really kind of, are strict about that. So that is, that does really help with the cost. So,
well,
we're at the end. I was going to ask you, would you like to share where people could find you at?
Absolutely. You can find me at a couple of different places. Obviously, if you want to read about some of the Disney tips that I have and some of my fellow divas and devos, that's what we call the guys who write for the Disney Diva. They're devotees to Disney. So we're divas and devos. You can find that at www.tipsfromthedisneydiva.com. If you are interested in getting a quote from me regarding a Disney vacation, you can email me at yanitavacation@gmail.com. So, and that is the letter Y and then my name, Anita. So it's yanitavacation@gmail.com. Awesome. And then I also have a personal blog that I'm horrible at updating, but there is some stuff on there about my family movie nights, and there's pictures, and there's stuff from our Disney trips, and just, you know, some stuff from our everyday life and homeschooling, and all of that's included there.
Oh, perfect.
And it is Everything Tice. Our last name is Tice, but I did spell it phonetically for my blog. So it's the word everything and then TICE.com.
Oh, awesome. Well, thank you, Anita. Thank you so much for coming on. This has been a really fun show.
Thanks, Amber. I had fun.
And there you have it. Hey, you guys, I would love to hear any topics that you would like me to discuss on future shows. If you know of somebody that you would like to come on the show, please let me know. All you have to do is go to themominspiredshow.com, click the contact tab, and you can email me any suggestions for topics or anyone that you know that you think would be a great inspiration to have on the show. See you next week.